Good morning. 2020 has not exactly been the year that we expected it to be. A little while ago, I was scrolling on my phone, looking through some old photos to clear off, and I came across a photo that I'd saved from last November that I'd like to share with you, because it's kind of funny looking at it now. And keep in mind, this was an American photo, but it stated a few things. In 2020, July 4th is on a Saturday, so is Halloween. Christmas and New Year's are both on Fridays, and Cinco de Mayo is on a Taco Tuesday. 2020 was supposed to be lit. After a year like 2019, where the American president was impeached, there was images of protests going on in Hong Kong that seemed to be getting worse every day, and the Amazon rainforest was burning, it was nice to know that at least in 2020, it was going to be a good year because our holidays lined up pretty well. And then 2020 happened. 6 months ago, if you walked around a grocery store wearing a face mask, you would get all sorts of funny looks. And now, it's the people not wearing a face mask that get that look of disapproving shame. Also, 6 months ago, I could count on every Monday for a couple of hours getting to come here and hang out with some of the youth and the teens at this church talking about Jesus and life and where we're going. When we finished for the year in June, we didn't do it at a barbecue like we normally do, and we get to watch a video of all the fun things that we've done throughout the year. This year, it happened on a Zoom call, on our phones and on our laptops inside of our house. Right now, I'm still not used to seeing this building as empty as it is right now as we're filming. I'm sure that there's a feeling that we've all had and a saying that we've probably all said to ourselves before. It's that feeling that when we've had a bad day, from when it started right from the first part of the day and it didn't get any better from there, it's the saying that goes like this. I'm done with this day, let's just try again tomorrow. And that's what I've heard a lot of people saying about this year. Let's just try again next year. They're done with this year. They just want to write it off and cut our losses and extend the quarantine until there is a vaccine in 2021. So, is it all right to say, just let's pack it in and try again next year? It's just 1 year, isn't it? So, I'd like to introduce you to a figure in the Bible named Isaiah. If you're not familiar with him, he's one of the prophets of the Old Testament, which means that he was someone that God gave a message to that was going to tell something that was coming in the future. He's also one of the main prophets that prophesied the coming of Jesus by the virgin birth, and also that the Messiah would be a sacrificial servant who would die for our sins. Isaiah lived roughly 700 years or so before Jesus, which puts him in the time of the divided kingdom. So this is a time after the kingdom that David had built had fallen and split into the kingdoms of Judah and Ephraim. And this is just before the fall of Jerusalem in the Babylonian exile. What's important about Isaiah is that he was an advisor to the king, someone who had the power to influence the king, and he lived in dark times as a result of the sinfulness and idolatry of Israel. That sin made them divided, weak, and prey to the outside empires that were looking to conquer them. Isaiah lived in hard times, and he had visions from God of much, much harder times rapidly approaching. The first few chapters of Isaiah are a very harsh chastisement of God's people, what they've become, how they treat their own people and others. Israel at this time is sinful and proud in it. Because of it, they're going to fall. So it's not exactly a happy vision that an advisor would love to give to his king. This vision culminates in Isaiah seeing a vision of the Lord on the throne, surrounded by the seraphim, the angels, and Isaiah realizes how unworthy he is to be there before God. So please join me in Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 5. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." With all that Isaiah had seen and known was to come, when he already lived in hard times, he was the kind of faithful servant of God that said, "Send me, I'm willing. Send me to do that difficult thing." We right now are in a difficult time. There are many who would minimize the what's gone on this year with the coronavirus, but the truth is that it has cut the lives short of hundreds of thousands of people, affecting millions of families, and has changed the lives and livelihoods of billions of people. In times of hardship, it is far easier to say, let's take a step back and wait for this thing to calm down or to blow over. However, times rarely do get better if there aren't individuals who step up and rise to that challenge. When there are hardships at hand, Isaiah set the example for all of us by saying, "Send me." And this is the mission that we are going to be undertaking in Life Group this year. In the past, life groups have been a great place to share in community with one another, to break bread and eat like the followers of Jesus did with him, and to study and learn more about God and our faith. This year, we want to build on that and develop our life groups into missional communities. To not treat mission as something that we do, accomplish, and leave at that, but start living our lives on mission, saturating our lives with Jesus and with God's love. A COVID year does not necessarily mean a wasted year. Just try again and leave until next year. COVID year is a year to share the good news of Jesus with our message and our actions, to bring the order of God's goodness where there is disorder and where there is need, to bring our faith to life and let it grow with our works so that our faith does not perish. Overall, our goal is to make a big impact through small groups this year and be the kind of people that say, "Here I am, send me," when and where there is need, which right now is all around us. So, this gives me the great pleasure to announce that we have some new community partners this year that we are going to be connecting with to support and be on mission with throughout the year. In addition to Food for Kids, which serves the Hamilton area, just like the members of this church who live in Hamilton, Dundas, Ancaster, and more, we are going to be going to those areas to be in community and to serve with two new organizations specifically, Ancaster Community Services and the Dundas Salvation Army Community and Family Services. Both of these organizations operate as a food bank and also provide Christmas baskets to families that are in need. Ancaster Community Services also provides local youth programming, counseling services, Meals on Wheels, and supports the Interval House Shelter for Women. We've been in contact with these organizations for the past little while to find out what their greatest needs are, when they are most in need, and what are the specific things that we could do, and we have the ability to do, that would be of help to them. But unlike our partnership with organizations in the past, where we've served as the large community that we are, we are taking this opportunity to let our life groups take the lead in becoming a place that helps the people in these communities. God has always been there for us, and now it's time for us to be there for our communities. How this will look is like our life group leaders are going to be paired up with a community partner in the next few weeks that they feel like their group can best serve. They'll be given all the information that we've gained so far so that when our life groups kick off in the early autumn, that we'll be able to go into this fully knowing the mission that we can take on and accomplish. From then, these life groups will be able to self-direct using their skills, creativity, and resources of their own group to take the lead and best serve their community. How each group serves is probably going to be different for every group, and it's going to be your choice how you go with it and in your life groups. But these small, everyday deeds that we'll be accomplishing will bring such a powerful impact to our communities, like the amazing work that we've been able to do with Food for Kids in the recent past. 5 years ago, when I first came to Westside, I was introduced to a life group before I was even baptized. And I'll admit that I was a little apprehensive about it because I was so new to the faith and to Jesus that I thought I had absolutely nothing that I could contribute to a Bible study group. But life groups are way, way more than just a simple Bible study group. I was introduced to eating together with new people, sharing the stories of our lives, celebrating in God's goodness and our successes and praying for one another in the good times and in tougher times. It is in small groups like the one that I've been a part of that the Holy Spirit that runs through all of us flourishes and the love of God multiplies. Many of us can get stuck in a rut where church just becomes an event. And if we're in that type of place, a time like now is very difficult because this church event isn't like what it used to be. It's not something that we can just count on every Sunday with our family and friends in this building, in this church anymore. But that does not mean that we should just wait for things to get back to the old normal. I'd like to share a quote with you from a church leader and author, Jeff Vanderstelt, from his book, Saturate. Jesus didn't come to earth, take on human flesh, live among people as the servant of all, suffer and die, so that we would just go to church for a couple hours a week. No, he wants it all. He wants all of our lives, all of the time. He wants to fill every place with this presence through his people. He wants every person in every place doing everything to glorify God. In short, God wants our lives saturated with him. He wants us to believe and feel in his infinite love residing in us and through us that we can do such great things. We can be disciples of Christ and disciple others. We can equip and encourage with love. We can humble ourselves and be servants like Jesus, who is servant to all. And Jesus had something to say about this too in John chapter 14. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. If you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. The Holy Spirit lives in us and will guide us to do such great things. When Jesus performed miracles, fed the hungry, and healed the ill, it wasn't like a magic trick to show God's power. It was compassionate and it was present. It showed that God was here with us and heard us. In the Gospels, it was the people's own faith that in Jesus that healed them. So when we look out into our community, let us look and listen like Jesus did, who saw hurt and pain that all needed to be healed. We have been gifted such a great gift in Jesus's grace and in his sacrifice for us. But we have also been gifted in his eternal presence with us, and we can do such great things with that. You might feel right now a little bit like I did when Pastor Dave asked me to connect with these new community partners a short while ago. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to mission, to go on mission, to live on mission. I don't even know the right conjugation there of how to put that sentence together, being on mission. However, what I've learned and heard in this short time is that the best place to learn how to mission is to be on mission and to do it in a community with others. It is true that the gospel means the good news, but Jesus did a lot more than just share the good news. He lived a good news lifestyle. He lived that good news life in everything that he did. And this is what it means to saturate our lives with Jesus, to live that good news life too, and make it an everyday rhythm that just becomes natural over time. There are lots of rhythms that we practice in our lives, and some of the most important ones we practice in our life groups, actually. These are things like eating together, sharing stories, listening to stories, blessing, celebrating. And now we're going to add one more to that list. That's to recreate. And this is a hybrid, actually. This is a hybrid of resting and creating something new, which is exactly what God did right from Genesis, to rest and create. He created what was good, and then he rested. So now, to restore what God has created, to make it new, we can heal what needs healing with all the gifts that God has graced us with. If I were to leave today, what I said about Isaiah earlier without finishing the story, you might think that God was so angry he just wanted to punish Israel for their sin, and he left them until he calmed down and decided, time for Jesus. Because the time after the Babylonian conquest and exile until the coming of Jesus is a dark time. It's dark in that there aren't really stories in our Bible regarding that post-exilic time until Jesus comes along some 500 years later. But Isaiah's vision did not end there. Isaiah's prophetic book is also a story of restoration. Restoration not just for Israel, but even for Israel's enemies in Egypt and Assyria, their worst enemies. You actually see this when we read Isaiah chapter 19, verse 24. In that day, Israel will be the third with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Did you catch that little bit there? God actually calls Egypt my people, Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. He extends his restorations to the ones who people would have least expected. And this is how closely God feels about restoration. This right now for us is a time for restoration too, not just a time for rest. We cannot and should not let the opportunity for recreation to pass us by just waiting for this pandemic to be over. This is a time that we can seize upon God's opportunity to, before us to live a life like Jesus, on mission and in service for his creation. So, if you are new here at Westside, I highly encourage you to fill out the Connect cards online so that you can get connected with what we do and the great things that we are going to do. And for those of you who are already signed up, I encourage you to look for your email in the coming days where there will be instructions on how you can sign up for a life group. There are going to be some new life groups we're going to be starting, and there are going to be some life groups that we're going to be continuing on with. But these existing life groups are going to open up to new members so that we can do some really good restoration and recreation this year. Here's the bottom line for today. Small, everyday deeds by ordinary people keep the darkness at bay. One of my favorites, all-time favorite parables in how simple it is the story of the Good Samaritan. It's such a simple story of how, or it's such a simple task to provide for that one person who is injured and who was in need. We can very often get overwhelmed thinking of, that we're not making a huge difference by changing the world. So what's the point of doing a little thing? But that's not the way that Jesus sees it. Not at all. The way that Jesus sees it is like this, from Matthew chapter 25. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. When you feed the hungry, clothe the unclothed, and provide for those in need, and live like the servant that Jesus was, you've done it not just for them, but you've also done it for Jesus. Can you imagine what our communities would look like if we made even more of an impact than we do in them? How the course that we're on right now could be changed and altered for the better and pointed towards Jesus. There's been a lot of talk about visions today, but I want to leave you with this one last vision. A vision of families in need and the communities that we live, having a basket this Christmas with food and toys to celebrate fully in God's blessings. This is some of the restoration that this time needs, and this vision doesn't need to end with Christmas, but it can go on in the relationships that we will discover and that we will build as we are on mission, living fully as disciples of Christ. And this is why small, everyday deeds done by ordinary people like us keep the darkness at bay and bring the love and presence of God here. So please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your powerful love, for your love that creates and restores and is always present wherever we are in need. I pray that you would guide us to be more present and compassionate for others, and that we would see others as our neighbor, to be loved and to be cared for in the perfect example that you set in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.